하나님 Lord, 예복 보 예복 보인들 보 아멘. Last Sunday we learned that the name of last Sunday was called New Sunday, New Sunday, or the Second Easter, the Second Easter. And this was a time for us to start over, to have a new beginning in life. Today also has two names. It's called either Green Sunday, or it's called the Sunday of the World Church, the Sunday of the Universal Church. And it's no accident that these two names take the same day, and that the color green, especially, is associated with the church. It's also very often associated with the cross, but also the church. And people have tried for centuries to explain why is it called Green Sunday. And they come up with theological reasons, and they've searched the scriptures, and they've come up with answers. And I'm going to do that in a little bit, too. But the real reason is very, very simple. If you go to Armenia today, everything is green. It's all blossoming. It's all showing new life. But green is so often associated with youth, with growth, with hope, with spring, with nature, with money. I know someone would say, I had to start it off, money, but also with new life, with new life. And the greatest form of new life that we could ever experience is in baptism. When we are baptized, we are given the opportunity to start a brand new life, to start over with a clean slate in Christ. In today's gospel reading, we hear of Nicodemus asking Christ, how is someone supposed to enter the kingdom of heaven? And Christ says they must be born again. And Nicodemus asks, does this mean that they have to go into their mother's womb a second time? How could this be? And Christ says, no, they must be born of the Spirit and of water. And we are given this opportunity, all of us, when we are baptized, to start again, to start over, to start that new life in Christ, and to be part of the universal church. The other name for today, as I said, besides being called Green Sunday, is also the Sunday of the World Church, the universal church. And so often we think of the church as four walls and a roof or a dome. And a church has to have candles, icons, vestments, right? Incense, and as I said, a beautiful choir to sing. We have all these things. This is what we think the church is. But the church is so much more than that. It's more than just four dry walls. The church is a living organism. The church is the body of Christ. And the church is something, because it is a living organism, it changes over time. It evolves. The outside of it changes. This is why we have so many different churches and different traditions. As I said, some churches add water to their wine for communion. We don't. Some churches use leavened bread. We use unleavened bread. All different churches use different things. The outside may look different, but the inside is the same. A couple of weeks ago, I said I discovered in my travels my yearbook from high school. And I saw my picture, and I was surprised that that was me, because I have changed much since high school. Some people more than others. I've grown. My waist has gotten a little wider than it was before. I have more scars, and I have less hair than before, and the hair that I do have is grayish white now, I've noticed. This is why I shave it, so you can't tell. But my beard and my eyebrows are deceiving me. But I've known and I've learned that my features have changed, but what I am inside has remained the same. My principles are the same. My thought process is the same. My desires and my goals are the same. We as the church have remained the same. Because the church, the ancient church, if we go to it, is very, very different than what we are today. We open the book of Acts and read, or any of Paul's epistles, and we read what the church was, and it is completely different from the outside than what we have today. But what the church is has remained the same. And the church is Christ. The church is Christ, and Christ is the same. As the apostle says, Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. The question then is, what does the church, what does Christ mean when it says it's the same? What is the church's mission? What is Christ's mission in this world? And we often say it's love, it's peace, it's hope, it's forgiveness, it's healing. And all of these things are true. But the main reason why Christ came to this world, the main purpose, his main mission, and the church's mission is to bring life to this world, to bring life to the people. Christ says, I have come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. We all live, but do we truly live? That's a question we often ask. It's a very philosophical question. We are all alive, but are we living? Christ came so that we may all live and may live abundantly. And all of these things are possible only with life. You can have love, but what is love if you don't have a life to live it with? What is hope if you don't have a life to live that with? What is forgiveness if you don't have life? Life is the purpose of the church and what we must preach. And any church and any people that do not preach life are not part of Christ's body. Any church that preaches the opposite, any people that preach the opposite of life, which is death, is not part of the church. This is why when the priest takes the chalice and he turns around, the very first words for the people to see the body of Christ is, this is life. Sa-e-yang. This is life. And then we go on. Hope, resurrection, and forgiveness of sins. All those things follow. But the very first thing is life. Christ then goes on and he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. This is what Holy Communion is to us. And then when we receive Holy Communion, and as we are receiving Holy Communion, the deacon sings and says, this is the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. This is life. This is the life-giving body and blood of Christ. If you believe it, receive it. And then after we receive it and we go back to our chairs, as the choir so beautifully just sang, on here, without even looking at the words, I must say I'm impressed. On page 51 in the book, it says, we have been fed from the table of immortality and granting salvation to the world, and also life for our souls. We say before receiving communion, during communion, and then after communion, that this is life. And true life can only be found in Christ. And Christ can be found in the church. If we do not understand this, then there is no point in coming to church. It is not a social gathering that many of us may think. It is not a country club, which we may sometimes act as if it is. It is not a political organization. The church is where life is found. And where life is found, Christ is found. And where Christ is found, it means we are then living our mission when we were baptized. Because that is what we do. When we are baptized, we are given new life, and we are then told to take that life and go out to the world and preach it. As Christ says, go to all the nations and preach to them all that I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have taught you. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. Christ has told us this. He has given us this mission. And it is whether or not up to us if we follow it. So on this Green Sunday, I ask that we remember our baptism. It is not something that our parents just did to us to make us Armenian, or because our families wanted us to be baptized, so we just did it. And it's not something we just did to our children so that our parents wouldn't be mad at us, so we just baptized them. But baptism is the beginning of a journey It is the beginning of a journey to life everlasting, but also the beginning of a journey in Christ, where our lives can be transformed and made new every single day.